This morning we're going to be talking about spiritual gifts and ministry. So before we begin, let's bow our heads for prayer. Father in heaven, as we read about spiritual gifts, we all have them. Sometimes we don't even know what they are. But I want to pray, Lord, that as we go through our sermon today, You will help every person here today to begin to recognize their spiritual gifts. So guide us as we study Your Word, because we ask it in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. Please turn to Romans 12. Romans 12, we want to read verses 4 through 8. Romans 12, 4 through 8. There it says, "For as we have many members in one body," body meaning the church, "but all the members do not have the same function. And so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness." Now let me give you four realities. Reality number one, we all have talents. Reality number two, we do not all have the same number of talents. Reality number three, some refuse to use their talents. Reality number four, not using your talents is a serious business. Some think they don't have any spiritual gifts, and some think they have certain spiritual gifts which they really don't have. Spiritual gifts. How does one find his or her spiritual gifts? Well, some try by taking tests. Others, they haven't a clue as to what their gifts are. And during the last 50 plus years as a member of this church, I've sensed a lot of frustration, confusion, and discouragement concerning this subject. Many people look at the list found in 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and Romans 12, and come to the conclusion that when it comes to spiritual gifts, they're a big zero. It's been said more than once, "I don't have the gift of healing or working miracles or teaching or evangelism or languages. I can't teach a Sabbath school class or preach a sermon." Well, maybe someday I will find out what my spiritual gift is. Friends, if you've thought this way, there's good news for you. Now, there are several reasons why we have misguided concepts about spiritual gifts. One comes from our distorted view of what constitutes ministry. Unfortunately, people have come to identify ministry from a church perspective, such as giving Bible studies, visitation with a pastor, visiting the sick in the hospital, handing out literature, preaching a sermon, and so on. Ministry is looked upon as a function done at some specified time. Now, these things are all part of a witnessing, serving ministry, but they're not ministry in and of themselves. Real serving ministry is a way of life. It is a lifestyle. Let me give you an example of how people have a wrong concept or idea of ministry. One day a lady called a friend of mine's office. She was excited as she said, "I'm so glad to talk to you. My husband and I want to start a ministry. We really want to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to know how we can get a witnessing ministry started." All of a sudden, she was interrupted by the sound of children fighting in the background. "Would you be quiet?" she yelled. "I'm on the phone." She went on to explain how they wanted to start a ministry. But again, the children interrupted the conversation by making noise. "So you have children. How many do you have?" my friend asked, taking a personal interest in her. "Five," she said. "Have you ever considered that God has already given you and your husband a ministry in training up your children?" "Well, I guess I never thought of that before," she replied, rather surprised. You see, friends, people have this idea that ministry can only be performed in some type of church setting, or that they have to go out and do something to be involved in a witnessing and serving ministry. In so doing, they miss the idea that life itself is ministry. Wherever we may be, Christ bids us take up a duty that presents itself. If this is in the home, take hold willingly and earnestly to make home a pleasant place. Now, that may not be easy for some people, but it's possible. If you're a mother, train your children for Christ. And this is verily a work for God, as is that of the minister in the pulpit. I want you to realize that. Friends, in the New Testament church, there was no great difference between what we now call the laity and the clergy. The early church was made up of common people from all walks of life, just like our church here is made up of. After experiencing conversion, the early church shared with others the love that burned within their hearts, and thousands were converted from the testimonies of those saints. That same thing can happen to us. When people out there in the world, the people you work with, see your lifestyle and they see Jesus in you, they can be led to the Lord Jesus Christ. These early church members did not have to take lay training seminars to learn how to witness, nor did they sit idly by in church week after week expecting the pastor to do the work of ministry. The church at that time did not have a priesthood. It was a priesthood. According to 1 Peter 2, verses 5 and 9. However, ministry changed as the church evolved over the centuries. A select priesthood was established that took the responsibility of ministry, while the laity came to the church week after week to receive the services of the priest and to watch him perform ministry. You see, the body of the church lost the privilege of ministry by turning it over to the hands of an elite few, who in turn perverted the true function of ministry. Thus came the concept of the clergy and the laity, which affects most churches today, and still it paralyzes the body of Christ from doing their ministry. That's one reason why the Lord hasn't come yet. We're lagging. But the pastor, according to the Bible, has been given the responsibility of shepherding and teaching the church. The Adventist church started off with a correct biblical concept. Our forefathers were not a highly trained and educated clergy. They were common people. They were filled with a burden for souls, and knowing that Jesus was doing His last priestly work for the fallen race, and that He was going to return very soon. This worldwide denomination was built by the Holy Spirit guiding the labors of a motivated lay people. It wasn't kicked off and going by clergy. It was the lay people. And that's one of the reasons this church right here is designated as a traditional church, a lay-led church. Even though you see me here, I'm really not officially pastoring this church. I volunteer. Yes, friends, Christ has given each of us a serving ministry, whether we like it or not, and we all minister every day, either for good or for bad, because we each have an influence on those people around us, either at work, the people we meet at the store, or wherever it is. That's the people we have an influence upon, and especially in our homes and in our families, and mothers with your children, fathers too, with your children. Remember, ministry is not something you do at some time during the day or week. Ministry is a way of life. From the time you get up in the morning until the time you go to bed at night, it is a natural cause and effect of an abiding relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, which includes, but goes way beyond those special things that you do within the organization of our church on Sabbath morning or Tuesday night prayer meeting. And now back to spiritual gifts. If we see witnessing serving ministry as some type of church function or something that's performed at some specific time during a day, such as I have a Bible study at 6 o'clock this evening, so at that time I'll be involved in ministry. If we do think this way, we will most likely have a limited understanding of spiritual gifts. If we have surrendered our lives to Christ, He has redeemed us. And why has He redeemed us? Because as Christ followers, we have been redeemed for service. Our Lord teaches that the true object of life is ministry. And everyone here in this building today should be involved in ministry. We're going to see how. Friends, if you are redeemed, you have a ministry. Now, since Christ redeemed you with such a high price, even His own life, according to 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19, and that redemption was given to you for the purpose of a serving ministry, is He going to give you zero tools or gifts to get the job done? No. He has given each of us many gifts. But we failed to recognize them because of our faulty concept of what spiritual gifts really are and how they work. I believe we've looked at Christianity in a legalistic way. I want you to take the law of God, for instance, now. We can hold the Ten Commandments up before us and we can mark them off. We don't do this, we don't do that. But a Spirit-filled Christian does not live by the letter of the law. He lives by the Spirit of the law. And when the law is viewed spiritually, its principles cover every single part of our lives. Being wide as the ocean and deep as the sea. And so it is with spiritual gifts. We can look at the list of spiritual gifts in a legalistic way, counting them off one by one. I don't have this and I don't have that one. Or we can look at the spiritual application of those gifts. And then all of a sudden, we find out that we have many gifts. You see, friends, God expects every gift given to be used for His service. All talents and gifts, whether original or acquired, natural or spiritual, are to be used to come close to people, winning their confidence and trust so that you can finally share with them what is dearest to your heart, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for, to share that. That's the bottom line intent of the spiritual gifts that all of us have. They provide a means to bring people to Christ by the hundreds occasionally, but more often by ones and twos as people see the daily difference Christ makes in our personal lives and we learn to want the same benefits for ourselves. Back when I joined this church 50-some years ago, you know who the biggest soul winners in the church were? It wasn't the pastor. It wasn't the evangelist. It was the church members themselves. Church members were out there giving Bible studies and bringing people to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not seeing that so much today. We're depending upon the radio. We're depending upon the evangelist, the pastor, the television. That's not the way God wants it to be. Yes, those things are important. But that's not what God wants us to do. Let me give you an illustration. Now, this is a good and a true illustration as how to use your spiritual gifts in day-to-day life. Floyd worked at a law school for over 20 years. While he worked there, he wrote a feature column in the law school paper. And when he retired, the law school created a scholarship fund in honor of his name. When he died in a tragic accident after retiring, they placed a memorial display in the law school building on his behalf. Now, are you ready for this? Floyd was not a law professor or administrator. He was a janitor. The janitor. He cleaned toilets. He mopped the floor. At his funeral, the church was full of lawyers, judges, and other important people in local government. Why? Well, because Floyd touched the lives of so many of these people during those 20-plus years he worked as a janitor. Late at night, as law students studied for exams, he would place his hands on their shoulder and encourage them that they could make it. Just keep going. You can make it. He bought clothing and shoes for many of those students who were poor and trying to work their way through school. He fixed their cars and he invited them over for dinner, and often shared encouraging words with them. One student came to ask for some wise counsel. "You want counsel from a poor, dumb janitor?" Floyd asked. "Yeah, dumb like a fox," the student replied. Now, if you would have asked Floyd if he had any spiritual gifts, he would have most likely said no. Yet he was a very gifted person. He had a definite serving ministry, even though he probably never thought of it as such. My friends, it seems that those who believe they have many spiritual gifts spend much of their time trying to impress and convince others of how talented they are, whereas those who think they have few or no spiritual gifts actually seems to be the ones to have the most. I've experienced that down through the years, and it's true. Floyd also had the gift of pastoral ministry, but if you'd ask him if he had it, he would have laughed, "Not me. You'd never get me up front to preach a sermon." And he would have smiled real big. And yet he preached a sermon every day to the students and the faculty with whom he worked. And how did he do this? Well, he took time to minister to their needs. He was a pastor to his own little flock, and it consisted of those whom he associated with. And friends, you also have your own little flock consisting of those with whom you associate with at work or in your neighborhood or wherever you associate with people. You see, my friends, spiritually, we each possess portions of many spiritual gifts. We just do not recognize them as such. Many of us have the gifts of ministry, evangelism, and teaching in a spiritual sense, such as we encourage those around us, We share our personal experiences with a living and loving and personal God, and we teach by example what a change Christ makes in our hearts and in our character and in our life. Wherever we may be, Christ bids us take up our duty that presents itself. If it's your work to till the soil, if you're a farmer, or if you build houses, if you're a carpenter, if you sell real estate, or you engage in any other activity, trade, or occupation, maybe you might sell bicycles. Put your mind on what you're doing. In all your work, represent Christ. Do as He would do if He were standing there in your place. However small your talent, God has a place for it. That one talent, wisely used, will accomplish its appointed work. By faithfulness in little duties, we're to work on the plan of addition, and God, according to the Bible, will work on the plan of multiplication. He'll multiply those gifts. These little gifts or duties will become the most precious influences in Christ's work. You see, Floyd was content with what he was doing. He was not wasting time trying to do something that God had not called him to do. Unfortunately, when the subject of spiritual gifts is brought up, many people think of some big miracle-working super gift that has a large impact on many. This is a very distorted view, I want to tell you. Yes, God does give special gifts of His Spirit that are used in a large and great way, in a public way. But let's not think that these are the only type of gifts that God gives. Many more gifts are given than people realize. Whatever gift God has given you, use that gift as a tool to win the friendship of someone. Just one. Pick out one person you want to win the friendship of and work on that. Don't say, I want to win the friendship of 100 different people, everybody in the company. No. I want to win the friendship of one person. Be nice to everybody, of course. But concentrate on one person. Build relationships. Be kind and thoughtful and humble. Let Jesus shine through you. One day we're going to study friendship evangelism in prayer meeting. And you're going to learn how to do friendship evangelism. Because they're not directly connected with some religious work, many feel that their lives are useless and that they're doing nothing for the advancement of God's kingdom. But that is a serious mistake. Floyd had a habit. He got off work every night at 1 o'clock in the morning, but he usually finished his duties by about 12:30. And then he would read his Bible in his janitor's closet. One night, about 12:30 in the morning, his supervisor drove by the law building. Seeing all the lights turned off, he took note. And on another night, he found the same thing, and the same on a third night. Parking his car, he walked to the building, quietly unlocked and opened the double glass doors and started walking softly down the hallway, the long hallway. Only one light reflected out into the hallway. It was the light of a janitor's closet. Standing in the doorway, the supervisor asked, Floyd, what are you doing? Floyd looked up from his Bible. He smiled and he said, I'm reading my Bible. You don't get off work for another half hour. Shouldn't you be working? He asked with a note of censure in his voice. Let me show you something, Floyd said. He got up from his chair, set his Bible on a shelf and went into the hallway, flipped on the long row of light switches. Crossing the hall, he pushed open the door of the men's room and kicked a small wooden wedge under the door to keep it open. Down the hall, he unlocked and opened the door of the office of one of the law professors. Can you find something for me to do? He asked with a smile. A supervisor walked briskly down the polished floor of the hallway to the main entrance of the building and carefully examined the floor in the corner by the door. No dirt. He hurried over to the men's restroom and looked down behind a toilet. The stainless steel nuts that held the toilet to the floor shone back up at him. Checking under one of the sinks, the stainless steel pipes glistened. Back in the hallway, he looked up at the fluorescent lights, dust free. Making his way into the professor's office, he pulled back the heavy curtains by the window with a surety that this would be the place for many janitors who work at night forget to dust behind the closed curtains. He wiped his hands on the windowsill. No dust. Turning to Floyd, he said, "Keep up the good work, Floyd. Now I want to ask you a question. I want you to think carefully. What impressed the supervisor more, catching Floyd reading the Bible or the fact that his work was done well?" Think about that. And if his work had not been well done, what would that have said about Floyd's religion? Could we say that cleaning a building is a ministry? Yes. And he exercised at least one of his spiritual gifts to do the job well. A spiritual gift, you ask? Yes, because he did his work well as a way of witnessing for Christ. Whatever gift God has given, if used for His glory, it's a spiritual gift just as much as any other found in the biblical list. Remember, those little gifts sometimes are the most precious influences in Christ's work. My friends, however lowly any work done for Christ with a full surrender of self is acceptable to Him as the highest service. It's not any less than the minister standing in the pulpit. No offering is small that is given with true heartedness and gladness of soul. Mark 12, verse 43. The humblest of duties are not to be ignored. Any honest work is a blessing, and faithfulness in it may prove a training for higher trusts. Let me give you an example of that. A friend moved to southern Utah many years ago looking for some type of ministry. We know a lot of our friends who were looking for jobs in ministries. Instead, the Lord saw fit to have him be a caretaker on a farm. Serving ministry? Well, it proved to be a ministry to him. One hot summer day, while baling hay in the field, his baler continuously malfunctioned. The strings in the baler would not tie, or they would tie too short or too long. And it became very frustrating. Wiping the sweat off his brow and feeling baked by the heat of the southern Utah sun, he looked up and asked the Lord, "Why did you bring me here? I wanted to be in ministry, and here I am in the middle of nowhere fighting this stupid baling machine." However, his anger was soon softened with prayer. Going to the shop, he took out the manual and read everything about the baler's timing. He took it all apart and he fixed it by the grace of a good Lord. Going to the shop, he was prayerfully doing what God wants him to do. Seek the Lord first, and then all these other things will be added unto you. How to fix it? Don't try to do something without asking God first how to do it. A few years later, he was working at a religious ministry, helping to set up a printing press used for printing gospel tracts. Every page that went through that press misfed and jammed the machine. Feeling frustrated, he sent up a prayer. took out the manual and started to read. As he was adjusting the timing on the press, his mind flashed back to a hot field in Utah working on the timing of a belling machine. "Now I understand," he thought to himself. God was helping me to realize that I needed to build a little more character before He could entrust me with working at an organized ministry. My friends, that is a very important principle that we all need to remember. Spiritual gifts? Friends, we all have them. They present themselves day after day, but we often fail to see them. The mother working with her children uses her gifts all day long. The smile shared as you open the door for someone at the store. Opening your home to someone in need. Inviting someone to dinner. All these can be used to share God's love. If you work as a carpenter, accountant, plumber, lawyer, roofer, or builder of any sort, do these things for Christ. If you're in the medical profession, Roberta, use your skills for Christ. She does. She uses her skills for Christ all the time. Form a reputation on the job as someone whose religion helps you to be the best and most honest in your field. Build trust. Share Christ. Spiritual gifts are the tools He gives us to bring us closer and closer to people so that we can share Christ. And you don't have to go up and say, "Hey, are you a Christian? Do you read the Bible every day? Do you do this? Do you do that?" No. Be a friend. Come close to them. Exhibit Christ in your lifestyle, and they will ask you why you are the way you are. The Lord will give you opportunity to share them. Yes, we need advanced training too. All of us need to know how to share truth from the Bible. And we're soon going to be starting our apologetic series where we're going to learn how to defend our faith from the Bible. All of us need to know how to share truth from the Bible. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every person that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and with reverence." And as we come close to people, they're going to ask you that question. What is it about you that makes you the way you are? Friends, we need to know how to work in a humble way, how to effectively hand out literature, how to give Bible studies or share our faith in Christ, and how to talk with people about health. But first, we need friends. We need friends to share these things with. And we will never be effective workers until we build friendships using those talents and resources that are at hand right now. I'm going to put my dear son and daughter on the spot right now, but I want to tell you, my dear son and my dear daughter are very good at sharing their faith where they work. My son shares his faith with everybody he works with in a kind and loving way. And my dear daughter, she does the same thing. They say, "Well, how come you're doing so well on the job?" And she tells them, "I pray and I trust in God and He helps me." As we do this, those resources and talents will multiply with use. Let's not forget that each of us have a home ministry, a neighborhood ministry, and a personal ministry. Whatever we do, let us do it faithfully, not halfway or grudgingly. Remember, Jesus did His best for us. You see, friends, many Christians are waiting for some great work to present itself and be brought to them. And because they cannot find a place large enough to satisfy their ambition, they fail to perform faithfully the common duties of life. These seem to them uninteresting and not worthy of their perceived talents. And day by day, they let slip the opportunities for showing and sharing their faithfulness to God. While they're waiting for some great work, life just passes away. Its purposes unfulfilled, its work unaccomplished. Oh, my precious friends, the Lord Jesus has purchased all of our capabilities and talents with His precious life. Don't you think we should give Him that which is His own? Our intellect is God's property, made to be used for His service and His glory. Our affections belong to the Savior, and He asks for them as His own, as His right of ownership. Why don't we give Him our talents, our best and sharpest thoughts? For they're the purchase of His own blood. He's only entrusted them to us as His children, and shall we not give Him back all those things that He has given to us to use for His glory? Shall we not surrender to Him husband, wife, children, and our all? Shall we not seek in earnest prayer for His blessing upon them? How many of us have fasted and prayed earnestly for our children to come to Jesus? Shall we not dedicate ourselves to His service in a precious offering? And as we give all to Jesus, heaven will begin right here on earth. The Lord Jesus has promised it. As long as we keep all on the altar, Christ is ours, heaven is ours, eternal life is ours. Surely the God of heaven could give no greater proof that He longs for your salvation than the proof He has given in the gift of His dear Son for your salvation. My friends, going to church doesn't make one a Christian any more than going to the garage makes one a car. Truly belonging to Christ's church is more than having one's name on the church's record book. It implies a realization of what the church is and one's own role in the church. How do you fit in with our church? Are you a living, witnessing part of the church, or are you a lifeless organ? Friends, shouldn't we humbly allow Christ to use all of our spiritual gifts today? We can do that, can't we? We certainly can. All it takes is a commitment. Lord Jesus, help me to use all the talents that I have to further Your work, to bring glory and honor to Your name. I know we can do that, can't we? Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, please bless and multiply our spiritual gifts and enable us to be more effective soul winners, sharing this most wonderful news about Jesus. We're tired of this whole world, dear Lord, and we long to go home. We want to go home to be with Jesus, but we don't want to go alone. We want to take as many as we can with us, our children, our families, our loved ones, our co-workers. Lord, help us. Provide the opportunity and enlighten our minds with the spiritual gifts that You've already given to us. May we sharpen them and hone them as we use them and practice them on other people. And we thank You, Lord, for being so good and giving us so many wonderful gifts. In Jesus' name, amen.